Blau und Weiß, sein Leben lang. Herzlich willkommen zu Wook auf Victory Monday. I'm your host, Richard Carmen. Joining me on this probably libation-filled Victory Monday, Jack Mangan. How are we doing, Jack?
Richie K., the Sultan of StreamYard. Good to be with you on this Victory Monday. As you say, Victory Monday, match day 24, hosting League Leaders St. Pauli. A surprise to be sure, but a welcome one. What a performance. What a match. On the backs of perhaps, you know, one of the darkest moments in the season, that 3-0 loss to Magdeburg. Complete 180. Lots to talk about. Just looking forward to celebrating tonight.
Yeah, it's rare to be at these kind of moments. It's the third one of the second half of the season so far, but it still seems so far and few between, as you mentioned. I am going to drink tonight because that was such a shocking performance. I am drinking some limoncello tonight. Are you drinking anything tonight, Jack? I think you are.
Limoncello was not what I was expecting you to say. Doing a little Quinta Rubin 14-year scotch.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
A nice bottle, yeah.
Absolutely. quick rundown of what we're talking about tonight. Obviously, we're going to talk about the win against St. Pauli and the match that it was. Complete 180, like you said. We'll talk about that. Talk about some of the players who made news, best 11s, and like especially in kicker and other areas. We'll talk a little bit about some news from the team, from training. Some of the players who've been missing, have they been playing lately? Yes, they have. The U23s. And then I'll talk about the Knabenschmiede. And then look ahead to Paderborn and maybe a little little bromance as well at the end of this here. But, yeah, you mentioned it, a game against St. Pauli. And I think going into this, every Schalke fan, I know you and I for sure, but many, if not all, had been at all-time low, considering we go against the game against Magdeburg, a must-win game. I guess a team who's right there and you know, right there with us in the standings. We need to get some points to kind of make sure to get away from relegation, give ourselves a little bit of confidence heading into St. Pauli, and we completely have an embarrassing performance, 3-0 loss, 3-0 in the first half, just an utterly disappointing performance, and I don't think anyone would have expected we would have gotten a result in this game against St. Pauli, much less the performance that we had, Jack. It was a complete 180, like you said. Get unmute yourself, huh?
It wasn't just the scoreline against Magdeburg. It was the performance was equally bad.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, I think in the wake of that game was the first time all season we started to hear even any discussion about Gerrard's on the hot seat? What does the future look like after him? And I hadn't heard any of that kind of conversation prior to that Magdeburg defeat. Nope. So that kind of shows you where things are. People starting to, you know, entertain at least the idea of a second managerial change this season. But how a week changes things. And, you know, you're hosting League Leader St. Pauli. We're going to talk about the lineups in a second. But, you know, Richard, when we made this hire with this manager, one of the things he said kind of in his introductory press conference or his sort of initial statements was like, sure, I have a preferred, you know, shape or, you know, play style that I'm going to try to implement, but I'm not rigid and I'm open to trying different things. And I think probably some people were beginning to question whether or not that was really the case, but man, did he really, you know, show that was truly, you know, the case with this lineup and this team selection against the League Leaders. It was a really brave, bold, risky, thing to try to implement, and it was a great approach, and I think it caught them completely off guard and got us a really important and unexpected result.
Yeah, and one of the questions we heard leading up to this match was that Carl Gerrards, are you going to resign? He's like, no, I'm not resigning. Like, no, I'm not quitting on this team. And we did see some changes. You talked about the bad performance. Just it was utterly poor performance all the way around in that game against Magdeburg. Baumgartel, Kaminski, Brunner, Chirlanov, Idrizi, all poor in that game. And as a result, all five would be dropped from the starting 11. in the Discord, in our Discord channel, grumblings were that Schallenberg was going to be starting in the defense. We're like, whoa, whoa, what are you talking about? You're talking crazy here. I don't see anything official yet. But starting 11 would come out, and what we heard right away off the bat, even just like a minute before the lineup came out, was that you would have Merkin, Tirota, Lastma, Kabadai, and Soppy all in the starting 11. So you knew something was going to be different in the starting 11. And then it was presented to us. A different starting 11, to say the least. Muller back in goal. Never a question in my mind. Back four of Merkin on the left, which you would think he'd be in the middle. Schallenberg, for sure, in the middle. With Kalash, who's been really good as of lately. Brandon Soppy inserted as well. How would he do? He was okay in the Magdeburg appearance. You had in the holding midfield role, Seguin, not Schallenberg. Kabadai on the right. Oyan on the left. Karaman in the central of the defense with Tirota and Lastma. Interesting lineup, to say the least. I think we've been flirting with this idea of adding more pace. How are we going to find it? We mentioned even Trelonov in the past, but it looks like Kabadai and Lastma on the right-hand side with Oyan on the left with Merkin. Seemed to be what Gerardo is going to go for in this game. Jack, thoughts when the lineup came out, this drastic, 4-1-2-1-2 formation that Gerardo came out with?
Yeah, once again, just super brave to try to... This is a completely different kind of lineup in terms of the players that are on the pitch together. For the most part, it's a new shape, the 4-1-2-1-2, as you said, kind of a diamond shape. You have Schallenberg being put in the heart of central defense. You have Brandon Soppy starting at right back, a player who a couple weeks ago, once again, there were conversations about, you know, people were laughing at his performance, you know, when he was getting up to speed. So, I mean, to put him straight in there once again against the league leaders is a big call. You've gone with like an Oyan Merkin stack, which is something we haven't seen a ton of. But it's interesting to kind of push Oyan a little bit more forward, take some of the defensive responsibilities off him, and kind of try to maximize what he does best.
Yeah.
You still maintain Seguin, sort of in the base of things, probably, you know, one of your more comfortable players on the ball who can hopefully distribute. I don't think he was great in this game in general, but I mean, like, I understand why you would select him in that role. You keep Karaman central, which is probably where you want him more often than not. Big call to put Kabadai right back in there. Somebody has a lot of run recently. I know he had some injury stuff going on as well, but like that's a big call. And then finally, we get a little Lastma from the beginning in partnership with Tirota. So, you know, a little both in terms of you know, the pace and the not pace, you know, the different parts of the game. I really thought it was interesting. It was, like I said, once again, brave, and credit to him for pulling it off. It was really impressive stuff with his back against the wall.
Yeah, shout out to Eric in the chat. He's the guy who actually broke it into our Discord about the Schallenberg in defense. We're like, what the hell are you talking about, Eric? There's no chance he's doing it, but he was right. Andreas Ernst broke the news on Twitter. And so, yeah, the starting 11 was a gutsy call by Gerrard, no doubt about it. Considering going against the best team in the league, a team that only lost one time this season. Look at them in Vasily in goal with Val Smith and Metz in the back with Saliakas, Kremlin, Irvine, and Trau with Metcalf, Afolayan, and Hartl up top. Is it the best lineup? I don't know, but it was a good lineup no matter what. You knew that it was going to be difficult from the onset just to see how everything St. Pauli's done this year. They have been by far the best team, I think, this league. They only lost until recently against Magdeburg, a few weeks ago. On the 10th of February. So this is a good team. Yeah, they're probably on a rough patch at the moment, but it was always going to be difficult for us, and how we came out in this game was going to be interesting to me, I thought. They got a few players we keep an eye on, but, I mean, for the most part, it's a complete team, as Gerards mentioned at the pre-match press conference. And so how are we going to come out in this game? I love the intensity we came out with. Like I mentioned this on our on the page we posted, our reaction after the match. It was a gutsy call by Gerards and a gutsy performance by this team, the performance that they had in this game. St. Pauli were active in the first 10 minutes of the game. Muller had to make a great save on, I forget who it was. It might have been Metcalf or Hartl early on in the game. Could have been an early decider at that point. But great save by him. But I thought this team in this first half, you know, first 30, 40 minutes, it was just on the attack. Very aggressive team. I mentioned this. Muller at times in their half with the ball It was just super aggressive from Gerrard to the team. I was worried at watching this team play in the first half because we were so aggressive. We were playing with so much effort. I thought we were going to run out of steam. I was like, there's no way we can keep this up for 90 minutes, Jack. Thoughts on how the first half was shaping up, the way the team came out and kind of had its sustained pressure?
And I can understand that fear because it kind of harkens back to like when you have unexpected, really strong, energetic performances against top teams. It reminds me of maybe like one of the Tedesco performances against Bayern. Where you have, yeah, you know, Franco DeSanto.
You brought him up, not me.
But you know, just pressing his ass off, you know.
That's a great game.
And like, you know, hanging with them for 80 minutes, and then we just run out of gas, and suddenly we concede two goals at the end. So I understand like where you're coming from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, like, look, into in St. Pauli's defense, there's no way they could have predicted.
No,
like, this lineup or this approach or how aggressive it would be. There's nothing in our recent performances that would have indicated this. So, yeah. I can understand that kind of throwing off their rhythm and their match plan and kind of disorienting them a little bit. But yeah, they still did have a little bit of success early on, like you mentioned. Merkin, not a great moment. I think Muller made a great save to kind of tip something wide of the post early in the game and some other opportunities. But overall, like, not a whole lot that St. Pauli generated, and really strong performance in the first half and the second half, which we'll get to in a minute. From St. Pauli's perspective, just great mustaches on that team, which you got to shout out whenever you see them. So
that's a fact.
That's probably part of the reason they're doing as well as they are. I think Schalke should investigate, you know, maybe recruiting some stash power, if not into the starting 11, at least into the match day squad to kind of give that energy in the stadium.
Well, we had Brunner, but he hadn't been performing. So they brought in now King Mustache Schallenberg in defense, and it seems to be working for him. So maybe there you go, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, for first half, I mean, it was a complete effort, I think, by the team pressing. The pressing in St. Pauli's half was amazing. Soppy, I thought, was working his ass off. I mean, everybody. I mean, very few guys, maybe, like you mentioned, maybe Seguin was one that you couldn't mention. Schallenberger was unnoticeable to me, and that's a good thing. Especially, we talked about this in the past with Herr Wildklass, what's his name? I forgot his name at the moment. But if you're unnoticed, it's good because it means you're doing a good job. Kaminsky, who's been struggling as of late, leading up to his game, had been very noticeable. And so Schallenberg gets inserted into the lineup, and he is very unnoticeable. It means he's doing a good job. I thought Ollion did really well on the press. Karaman, Lasse Tarod, I mean, Merkin, the whole team really did really a wonderful job of instant pressure on St. Pauli, causing a quick turnover and then keeping possession of the ball and just recycling and doing what they got to do. And when the play is not there, recycling it back to Muller and then kind of starting over again. Like you said, St. Pauli were not prepared for it. And I was like, what are we watching here? Is this real life here? And then your boy, Schallenberg, in the 44th minute, I believe it was him, he released a pass over the top, finds Ollion down the left-hand side. And at this point, we're almost at halftime. You're thinking, okay, we're going to be going there 0-0. Finds Ollion on the back, over the top. He gets on the sideline. He's looking for Tarota near post. Tarota with a wonderful, first a good cross by Ollion. Tarota, fantastic dummy, fooled the whole St. Pauli defense thinking it was going to him. He let it go between his leg. Kabadai, who had a really good game up to this point, taps it in. He's exactly where he's supposed to be. We've seen Karaman do this play many times this season. Just in front of the goal, make himself available, puts it away, 1-0. And it's a dream start, dream first half, I think, for us. But yeah, shocking goal to say the least for us, for St. Pauli, for everyone watching, I think.
Yeah, when I saw it live, I thought Tarada like flicked it like onward and like redirected it. But yeah, I mean, it was no way on assist. Ollion, not like the most like efficient of days, but great volume from him, obviously. Yes, just whipping stuff in, and you know, and I think him being freed up to do that with Merkin behind him with that sort of stack of the two of them is really interesting. We floated that at various times, but I thought it could be a good idea. And yeah, I mean, Tarada taking up a good position in the box, which you know he's always going to do. He maybe doesn't get there as quickly as some other people, but you know he's going to find an intelligent place to set up shop and kind of seals off that edge right there in front of the front post, is able to let it go through. And Kabadai, to his credit, just knows for goal, you know, darts forward as that ball's coming in to try to clean stuff up, you know, being aggressive, trying to get into a goal-scoring area and reacting first, and he's rewarded for that, and he puts it away. So great to see, especially someone who hasn't had a lot of run in the side recently, who probably isn't sharp to him to be like that alert on that play.
Yeah.
And that kind of locked in mentally is something that's very impressive to me. So great play from Kawadai as well.
Yeah. And then, I well said, I thought on that play, it's just so good to see. It was certainly deserved at that point. And, I think just before that, we heard that, or maybe just after that, we heard that it was going to be 5 minutes of stoppage time. We're like, oh, you're always worried when you hear that much stoppage time when we have a lead. Well, is that too much time? But I think fully deserved goal at that point. Oweyan, like you mentioned, had lots of volume in this game, and you figure one of these moments that he's gonna cross in is gonna pay off, and obviously it did there in the 44th minute. Looking at the first half, up 1-0, obviously shock scoreline at this point for the entire league. And for me, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. We'll look at the statistics here in a second for the first half, but watching that first half optics, it looked like we were dominating the game. It just seemed like we kept causing turnovers, kept possession, kept creating chances. And without looking at the stats, I was like, man, we are just completely dominating this team. Did you get that feeling watching the game, or how did you perceive the first half?
Yeah, it did feel that way. And I don't even think we had the majority of the possession in the game. I could be wrong about that, but I think we didn't. But it definitely kind of, it felt that way a lot. There were definitely those periods where you mentioned where, like, Muller's playing a little bit higher, and we're controlling kind of where the game is taking place and forcing it much more to the opponent's side of the pitch. And that's something you don't see a lot from this team. That was definitely my impression.
So here are the first half stats, which were shocking to me, even more so than the scoreline, considering what we just watched. Possession, 51-49 in favor of Schalke. Shots, 3-2 in favor of us. Fouls, 9-6. So we were committing a lot of fouls, trying to slow them down. It worked. Offsides, 4-0. Toronto was constantly being called offsides, which is great. You want him to kind of push that line, hold that defense honest. Corners, this is the big one here, 5-1 in the first half. It seemed like every other play was a corner for us, and Oweyan with numerous amounts of in-swingers in this first half. So that was a big scoreline there, and Yellow's 1-0. Sopi got one just before the break. And big saves, Muller had the one in the 10th minute that we referenced, and then the goalie for I'm going to say Paderborn, for St. Pauli got a save as well. But yeah, the stats say it was more 50-50 kind of game. It did not feel like that at all. And my worry, like I said earlier, is like, could we keep this up? That was my big worry there. Limoncello is already getting to me there. By the way, I was sick last week, so I'm finally getting my voice back, and I might just blow it in here these last couple of days here with Schalke. So second half kicked off. They did have an early substitution. Smith, the defender, came out. He had an injury early on. Made a substitution. And then off the kickoff, the second half, Agustin was in the game. He's been a Schalke killer, notorious in his career. I was worried when he came into the game. Didn't really affect us too much. Elias Saad came in as well. He's always been a guy who played well against us. So the second half pretty much kicked off like the first half ended. Much of the same from Schalke. I was wondering... would they keep up the same game plan against St. Pauli with the lead? In these kind of situations, it's twofold, right? Because one, you're like, we have a lead. Let's try to preserve it and not play as risky. But what got you the lead in the first place is playing a certain way. And so I kind of felt like I wanted to see the team continue on doing what they did in the first half, not so much play defensively. Eventually, what was it, 60, we started to see substitutions, and the guys were working their butts off. Guys were getting tired. Lasma was the first one to come off in the 63rd for Kiki Top. He put in a good shift, I thought. He didn't get any goals, didn't really make many shots, but I thought he was effective. And the press, the passing game, thoughts on Lasma before, as he came off in, 63rd minute or so?
No, yeah, I would agree. I don't think there were that many special moments or anything, but I had the same kind of opinion when he came off, was that was a solid shift that he put in.
Sorry, just rotating my drinks here. for sure. A guy who came off next, who I thought had a hell of a game, arguably could be a man of the match. He was actually nominated for man of the match on Schalke's Twitter. Brandon Sopi. You saw that he was getting tired. He put in a hell of a shift. He came off in the 70th minute, and in comes Cedric Bruner, and immediately I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. Here we go. The one mustache you don't want to see for Schalke play. I was worried, Jack, when Cedric Bruner came in. Not because, you know, he's been a consistent player for us his whole tenure with us, but this season it's just been building upon building, or poor game after poor game.
I was worried like he stole something.
What's that?
So he's getting beat like he stole something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what were your thoughts when he came in? Did you have the same feeling? Like, oh,
yeah.
Shit,
I mean, like, no, you just don't trust him this season. I mean, no. And unfortunately, he's earned that reputation this season. He hasn't been good enough. He's been beaten a lot. And I mean, the way that their singular goal ultimately goes in is a little bit fortunate. But the initial opportunities, Bruner's kind of involved again, and isn't able to stop a shot from getting off.
Before that, though, there was a goal contributed by... So we've talked about this in the past where our goalkeeper distribution has been very poor. Certainly under Fairman, it's gotten better under Mueller, but even the last several seasons, it's just been poor from the goalkeeper. Mueller has been a bright spot in that regard, and in this game, in this play particular, 73rd minute, great long clearance off a goal kick over the top. Kiki Tapu just came on for Brian Lassman a couple minutes earlier. Nice flick on, finds Simo Toroda, who gets behind the defense. He's been towing that line all game long. Finally pays off, gets the ball. One-on-one with the keeper. Should have probably finished it better than he did. Saved by the keeper. Fortunate, though, ball bounces around. No one knows where the ball is. Falls right to Kabadai, who's at basically the six-yard box. Puts it home. Could have fumbled that, really. It was a really difficult play, but he put it away. 2-0 at that point. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Kabadai is taking over this game. Great clearance, I think, from start to end on that play. It was just good to see good results go our way, fortunate bounces go our way for once.
Absolutely. It's a really nice header from top. And then I agree with you. I think Tirada needs to put that chance away. He should have done better there. A little bit disappointing, but we're fortunate for once with where that bounce goes. It's deflected onto, I think, a St. Pauli player, and then it's kind of floated up into no man's land, and Kabadai is able to hit it on the volley, you know, to get at it a little bit earlier, not let it bounce or anything, and he puts it away. So once again, right place, right time in the box for the second time this game for Kabadai. So, you know, from obscurity to a brace against the league leaders. I mean, once again, this is why you like the sport. You just can't predict some of these things happening.
Yeah, and I mean, we had similar debuts by like Kazuki last year when I think we played Bayern or somebody. He had a really great performance. Better performance, obviously, by Kabadai because he scored goals. On that goal, they would go to VAR, and that's how you knew it was our day. It was a questionable handball on Toroda when he got the ball from Kiki Top. No handball. It was obviously off his chest, but how many times have we seen that before in the past where it got called against us? This time we got the call going our way. So goal stood, 2-0. Shortly after, we saw a substitution. Kabadai finally did come off. I didn't think he was tired, but hey, you know, he's just coming back from injury. Don't want to push him too hard. Darko Chorlunov comes on, and he's a guy who's an engine guy anyway, so it's a good substitution there, I thought. Immediately picks up a yellow card as soon as he comes into the game, so he was fired up. And then you mentioned it, the play by Bruner. Well, he was involved in a play, 89th minute. They're starting to get more and more of the ball. It's, you know, 2-0 lead. We don't want to play too risky at this point, but St. Pauli coming with their waves. And finally, I forget who gets the goal for them. Eli Assad on Bruner's side cuts in. Bruner does an okay job, but shouldn't give this guy a shot. Unfortunately, it deflects off Seguin past Mueller. Nothing Mueller could have done about that. It was like, anytime a ball is deflected like that, going on target, it's going to be impossible to stop. Bruner, like you mentioned, could have done better against Eli Assad. And then, you know, unfortunately for Seguin, who didn't have that great of a game.
That was dangerous, though, when he came on. He had some dangerous moments.
He was. Danger adjacent, right, like you like to say. I think Seguin, who didn't have the greatest of games, he was okay game. That was just an unfortunate cap to his game where it deflects off of him and goes in a goal and 2-1. I'm getting worried.
I think my thing with Seguin is, like, I just want him to be a little bit more influential in possession than he has been. Like, just push the tempo a little bit more. Play a couple more, you know, line-breaking passes because we've seen him do it, and I just feel like the output, it's just not as special as you're kind of hoping it is going to be sometimes. But, solid shift. I wasn't trying to point to him as, like, a particularly bad performance or anything. I just thought, you know, there were other people that shined a little bit brighter.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And so 2-1 at that point, you're like, okay, last minutes of the game, how much stoppage time? There was, what, I don't know, 3 minutes of stoppage time? Wasn't as much as the first half.
And it's amazing how quickly a 2-0 lead suddenly feels like your heart's, you know, falling into your stomach, because the second the one goal goes in, then you're like, all it takes is one more swing of the boot and that 2-0 lead's like, you know.
And we've been there, done that many times, right? Yeah, we were like in cruise control and then go from there to like, oh shit, here we go, not again, another game. But yeah, luckily we responded very well. Just minutes later, Marius Müller again over the top. This time it's the roles are reversed. This time it's Tirota kind of flicking the ball on to Kiki Top. Kiki Top does well to hold on possession, finds Karaman backdoor. Karaman in turn shoots it backdoor, right past the keeper. 3-1 game, set, match. Wow, a complete performance from the team. You can see how much it meant to Gerrard. That's the most I've seen Gerrard on the sidelines all season since he's been with us. I mean, from the first goal onwards, it was a huge game for everyone, I thought. Gutsy performance by the team, gutsy calls by the management. Much deserved victory and a shocking one for the league amongst many shocking results this weekend. But wow, none of us saw this. We were all hoping we'd beat Magdeburg and shit the bed, and then it come to St. Pauli, which no one thought we were getting a point out of. And we get 3 points.
Unrecognizable team.
Yes.
I mean, like, I don't know how you go from that Magdeburg performance to this week to week. It doesn't make sense, but that's football sometimes, I guess. Credit to Top, by the way. So first of all, great feat on that play initially when he brings the ball to change direction and kind of cut back internally. He continues to impress me with how silky he is with the ball at his feet for kind of his size generally.
And age,
He's got a little something about him, that kid. But yeah, ultimately lays it off to Karaman. I want to give credit to Chernilov as well. When Top picks up that ball, Chernilov is actually sort of the furthest, most wide player, and he makes a pretty decisive diagonal internal run, which slightly pulls the center backs, or at least kind of keeps them honest centrally, and that ultimately creates the space for Karaman to get out wide and that ball to be played in from Top, and then Karaman to be able to, you know, have that space to play it back across his body to the far post, which he does quite well. Credit to him. It's another really good finish, man. If Karaman can put chances like that away, I mean, it bodes well for us, because once again, he's not supposed to be our striker or primary goal scoring threat, but, you know, leading by example there. He scored some big goals this season. That was another one. But yeah, credit for Keke Top. Hockey assist and assist in this match as a substitute. Not bad. Not a bad little cameo from him. Really impressive. And yeah, like you said, Gerrard's animated, I think, seriously for the first time since he's been at the club. And who can blame him after the week he's probably had? Didn't get a lot of sleep this week after that Magdeburg performance and some of the questions that, you know, were floating around midweek. Gutsy and, you know, just what the doctor ordered. Really, really a lot of fun for the first time in a while, you know, watching the Schalke team on Sunday or whatever that was.
Yeah, we've had Victory Mondays already this in the season, but I think this has been the sweetest feeling one, because it was so unexpected for once. A team that we were all expecting to lose the 3 points to in this game. Just questions of how bad would it be? We turn around and have a performance like that. It goes kind of back to how we mentioned, I think, the last podcast, where we said at home, we are a decent team at home. We have, the sixth best most points in the season at home. And if we could play like that at home for the rest of the season, we're not getting relegated. If we could play like that the rest of the season, there's anything, the sky's the limit. I'm not a fool to think we're going to play this way every game. It'd be nice. I'd be happy if we just play this way at home for the rest of the season. Just a guarantee we're seeing in the league, at least. But hell of a performance by the team. The fact that, I mean, we talked about, or we didn't, we talked about when Gerrard's first joined, how he said that he was going to, the team is going to run. They're going to be fit. And it showed in this kind of game plan. I don't know if it's sustainable for a season, but the team held up for the 90 minutes, very similar to that Bayern game many years ago that you mentioned. The team didn't give up, and the subs that came off the bench put in a performance as well. Not as, you know, obviously not as well as what, you know, the guys who started, but a good performance all day around. Kabadai gets man of the match, voted man of the match for Schalke. Obviously, with the two goals, it helps a lot, but it wasn't just him. And it showed, I think, finally with the kicker best 11, we had not only Kabadai making the best 11, you had Kalash. He put a hell of a performance. Schallenberg, good performance. He was unnoticeable. That means he did well. And then Brandon Saupy, good for him. I thought he put in a heck of a shift basically coming off the streets and then doing what he did. I liked his insertion. He was involved in the right wing side or right back side. So, yeah, all four players, and I mean, you could say most of the starting 11 are deserving of some kind of credit or another, right? Maybe Seguin is maybe the poorest out of all of them, and that's still, he had an okay game. So, I mean, I'm just shocked and lost the words of what we saw against St. Pauli. More of that, please.
Yeah, I mean, more of the brave decisions from the manager. And basically, I mean, like, once again, I mean, consider the pressure that he's under that this past week. And then for him to basically just kind of like, you know, swipe the pieces off the chessboard and kind of start from scratch and be like, all right, let's pair these guys together. Let's change the shape to this. Let's have this approach. And, you know, I mean, like, it's certainly a call you can make. And he, you know, the team bought into it and executed. That should say something, I think, about the relationship he has with the player still at this point. Like, he hasn't lost the locker room necessarily. I don't think they would have pulled this off if he had. So, yeah, more of that, please.
It was interesting to see. Well, look at the final statistics here of the game. Obviously, 3-1 shots, 14-7. I mean, that's crazy to see against a top team, 14-7 shots on target, 5-3 in favor of us. Keeping that low and to have that many shots on target for us was nice to see. Possession, to your point, they end up having a lot more possession as they're trying to come back into the game. 58-42 in favor of St. Pauli. They had a lot more passes than us. Passing accuracy, yeah, it was okay for us. They had much better than us. Fouls. We had more fouls in the first half. We kind of backed off of that in the second half. Obviously, Salpi got a yellow, and Chernenov, a couple others, had a yellow in the second half. But yeah, 9 offsides in the game. 4 in the first half, 5 in the second half. So again, it's Tirota and company pushing the defense, keeping them honest, stopping them from being too aggressive themselves. As aggressive as we were with the ball in possession, we stopped them from doing that because we kept, you know, holding, keeping that defense prepared for a possible come from the back. And then didn't have any corners in the second half. Well, one after the 5 in the first half. But man, it's a unreal performance. We needed that. It just needed that. I mean, especially with the way the results went this weekend. Look at the standings real quick.
Yeah, I think we're within like a result of 11th place now, and we have more than a result between us and the nearest team below us, which I think is like Kaiserslautern at this point. So I think we have a 4-point gap below. We haven't really moved up the table too much, but you know, a little bit of breathing space now, and you know, some forgiveness room, if you will, yeah. In case we, you know, we drop points next week or something like that.
Yeah, like to your point, we have 4 points on Kaiserslautern, 5 from the first relegation spot, and then 3 points away from 11th place, 4 from 10th. And so we're playing a team, Paderborn, who, yeah, they're 6th in the table, but I mean, hell, we just beat the first place team in the league. Anything is possible at this point. I'm not going to expect the same, but yeah, more of what we saw this last game, I think, would be fantastic. Yeah, it's just a heck of a performance by the guys. It was a little bit of an injury scare with Kataman today. He was training alone. Maybe just a precautionary thing, you know, maybe feeling a little tight in some of the muscles. So hopefully it's nothing too serious and he's ready for this weekend. Drago, a guy we haven't seen in a while, and Cisse, neither of them were in training today with Schalke, but they had just played with the U23s. I think it was yesterday, and Asan got like 45 minutes in the game. So he's trajecting towards coming back to he's getting match fit, which is nice to see. Looking at some of the Knappenschmiede results from the weekend, the U23s lost to Köln 1-0. The U19s drew 1-1 with Duisburg, and the U17s won 2-1 against Oberhausen. So, you know, okay results there for the Knappenschmiede. We mentioned about a bromance. An old friend of ours, an old friend of Darko Chernenov, Rodrigo Salazar, was at practice today. The cameras all over them, just, you know, hugging it out and hanging out, and they're taking pictures with each other and everything like that. It shows the kind of bond the team had previously. Obviously, those two are close friends. Ever since Chernenov left, it was always the rumor like, oh, when are we going to get Chernenov back? Because Salazar, you know, that's his boy. And I think we saw Salazar's performances kind of dip once Chernenov left, right? I mean, obviously the team were playing a different league at that point, but it wasn't the same player that we had seen before. And then we're like, oh, maybe we can use him to get Chernenov back. And now we get Chernenov. Now we're like, can we get Salazar back? I don't know how, you know, it's not going to happen. But thoughts on seeing Rodrigo Salazar back and a happy Chernenov, I guess.
No, I mean, it's awesome that players like that, even recent players that were only here for a relatively short period of time, would want to come back and say hi and spend their free time in Gelsenkirchen of all places. I mean, to me, it's just like, yeah, it's kind of what could have been, that kind of a thing. I mean, like, I'm not trying to say that, like, either of these players are world beaters, but they had a great relationship. I mean, I think the fact that they were in the squad together was good for the chemistry of the team in general. And they were two of our most important players down the stretch in that promotion campaign, the last time we were in the second division. They had a good understanding. Would have been nice to see them playing together in the future, but happy at least we've gotten Chernenov back. You know, he scored in his first performance right off the bat. And, you know, regardless of how well he's played kind of on the whole, you know that he's somebody who cares and is going to put his heart into it, and he's going to probably motivate some of the people around him. So nice that we're able to get some of those characters and attachments form from players that have only been here for a short while. I also enjoyed that Salazar supposedly was making fun of Bild as well, which is great, which just shows you how much he knows about Schalke. Then that you know, yeah. He was saying, like, oh, Bild's gonna be reporting that I'm coming back because I was here. And I just love that, like, that dig at Bild too is great. So shout out to Salazar, we love you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because talent is can only take you so far. Chemistry is what really kind of gets you over the hump. It certainly did with that team that we won 2 years ago in the Zweite Liga. It shows with teams like Elversberg, who just got promoted from the Dritte Liga last year. They don't have any really world beaters on their team, but the chemistry is so strong with them that they're putting performance and they're the top 10 in the league this year, and they're beating teams and getting results against teams that you thought they had no chance against. And so having that kind of chemistry wherever you can find it is important to kind of hold on to that. And one of the guys, I think, with this current squad, who sometimes we weren't sure how the chemistry was. How was the chemistry with the coach? I'm talking about Thomas Owion. And to kind of show you what kind of chemistry or how they hold Thomas Owion on the team, as an example, on Instagram this weekend, Thomas Owion posted something. I forget, he posted something and had a caption on it. And literally every member of the team was commenting on it. And they were like, it was like having fun, you know, egging him on. Like, oh, he's a king of Netherlands and da da da, this and that. That's good chemistry. You love to see that. That's obviously helps when you win, right? We won the game, but you don't often see where, like, every member of the team is commenting on a player's, you know, Instagram or whatever. And it was nice to see every single player commenting on that. So maybe the chemistry is there. We just had to find a way to start getting results. And hey, maybe we can build from this game. I think it'll be fantastic. I think. Let's see. Eric says Taylor Swift will have concerts in, and yeah, she's gonna have concerts in Gelsenkirchen. Knock off some of the debt. Yeah, maybe she could do a 10-night stay there.
No, yeah, I'm seeing Taylor Swift in Amsterdam, and Veltins Arena was an option, but I said I refused to have the first time I'm at the Veltins Arena be for a Taylor Swift concert and not for an actual Schalke game. So
yeah,
we'll make it there some other time.
That would be something there, wouldn't it? Your first time Gelsenkirchen to see Taylor Swift. So. Yeah. All right, last bit of news, not even news. It's we got Paderborn this weekend. The game is, was it Saturday, I guess it was? I don't know what time the game is on Saturday, but some of the recent results, they drew Magdeburg yesterday. They beat Wiesbaden, who beaten us this season. Didn't fare so well against Kiel lately. Speaking of Kiel, we won, obviously, Friday night. And then former Schalke player, Timo Becker, gets a game-tying goal in the 97th minute against Hertha Berlin, who we're battling points for, and gets the draw. So, hey, it was an extra special day that day. I had to shout out Timo Becker there, the captain, getting the game-tying goal there. But, you know, Paderborn beat Kiel recently, and Paderborn's getting some good, decent results this season. So what are your thoughts on this game?
Don't you love that Timo Becker is the one taking penalties, though, in that situation?
I do.
Cool. It's glorious.
He's the captain.
It makes me happy. I don't know why we didn't hold on to him, but whatever. It was a good day for Schalke and Schalke, you know, related people. See, Kremp knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Can't go to Gelsenkirchen for your first time and see Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
But yeah, thoughts on Paderborn and how you see this weekend going?
I mean, look, we're on a high right now. Maybe Gerrard's now on the back of that performance also has sort of escaped a cage that he had self-imposed on himself in terms of kind of where he's able to, you know, go with some of his ideas and whatnot. Maybe he has a little more confidence, a little more creative freedom. So I also think the integration, once again, of some other peripheral figures is hopefully going to increase competition in squad and make training better and more competitive and just kind of, you know, get the entire squad humming at a slightly higher, you know, resonance. So, yeah, I'm optimistic for it. You know, we'll see what happens. Good to see that, like, Odriozola and people are getting back to fitness. Hopefully they can contribute at some point, not this game, obviously, but, like, you know, before the end of the season, you know, before times run out in this campaign. So, is this an ESPN Plus game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I have a crumb of ESPN Plus, please?
No. It's supposed to be ESPN Plus. You thought the St. Pauli match would be on it. No, we have to find it on, you know, Serbian stream or whatever. But ESPN Plus or Paderborn and Schalke. I will take it. Game is Saturday, 7 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Chicagoland time.
Jack time.
It's an early one on Saturday, so we'll take it. Any other big games this weekend? There's a lot of big games, but St. Pauli, Hertha should be an interesting one, and Fürth and Elfersburg, just to name a few. So anyway, yeah, let's get on out of here. Ryan's in the chat, says, not on ESPN Plus, ESPN is the week after. I could have swore they had put the game on this weekend. Let's check.
Ryan, we will not punish you for being the bearer of bad news. We appreciate the intel. Yes. You have ruined my night, but I don't blame you.
I'm offline. I'm not online. Okay, I'm offline. So we'll figure it out later, but it is what it is. Hertha
on ESPN Plus. Who wants to watch Hertha? I don't know about that.
Let's watch Hertha.
That's a decision. That's a programming decision.
Yeah. It was originally scheduled on my app, but yeah, they take it off. So yeah, wait till the week after. So it is what it is. Jack, it still says no. Yeah, you're right. We're going to follow or find you on social media.
At JMMangan, JMMangan on Twitter.
Wonderful. You can follow me at r_KHARMAN. More importantly, you can follow us at Schalke America anywhere across social media. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube page. It'd be much appreciated. Thumbs up on the video. Help with the algorithms, of course. And then we got the game on Saturday. We'll try to do some more pre-match and post-match reactions to the game. Then obviously the podcast, hopefully it's a similar podcast to this weekend, but we'll see. You never know, with the last 2 weeks, anything is possible with this team. But let's just get on out of here. Chat, thanks again for coming out tonight. Always appreciate you, all the supporters who've been following us many years. Let's get on out of here. For Jack, for myself, let's get on out of here, and see you next week. Look out. Schalke sein.